This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Shed making it happen. Watch the left side. Ball bounces. Pretty neat for a 6'1" guy to finish it off like that. Whoa.
Welcome to Film Sesh. My name is Corey Teleba. I am here, as always, with my co-host Albert Garbage Time Gim. And today, we are here with a very special guest. We're here with Jamal Shedd from the Houston Cougars to break down some film. Jamal, thank you for taking the time to join us, man.
My pleasure, man. I'm happy to be here.
I mean, you had a unbelievable season last year. You were consensus first team All-American, defensive player of the year, Big 12 player of the year, first team all Big 12. I mean, the list goes on and on. So, you know, for anybody who maybe isn't super familiar with your game that hasn't watched over the last couple of years, how would you describe your game?
I just try to go out there and play as hard as I can. You know, be as smart as possible, but, you know, burn it out. Try to give the game everything I got every second that I'm out there. So if you see me play, you're probably going to see me on the floor trying to get after it as much as I could.
I think that's the perfect segue kind of into this first clip that we have. You know, we're going to start on the defensive side of the ball. Do you remember this play here?
I don't. Oh, yes, I do.
I mean, that the amount of ground you're able to cover on this play, man, that's pretty crazy. So, you know, take me through this. Like, how are you anticipating this?
So it's kind of personnel too. His shot is a little funky and he holds it a little bit. So I knew I'd have time to get there to contest. And once I got there, I realized I could block it. So I just jumped a little higher. And we had a kind of bad turnover, but we recovered good. So it was just my job to get out there and contest as hard as I could. And I just happened to get there.
Yeah. I mean, let's pause it. Like, where it kind of hits his hands, like you're still in the paint when he's touching it. I mean, when that passes in the air, you're at the logo. I mean, the ground coverage there, the ability to even get to that ball, not only to like get a contest on it, but to actually get a piece of it, and not just a piece, like you got a good piece of it. That's pretty crazy. Have you always kind of been like super bursty and athletic like that?
Yeah, it just comes with playing hard. Coach says it all the time. Good things happen when you play hard. So we're taught to go close out and jump to the side as much as we can. So I try to jump to the left side of his body, and I happen to just get it. You know, I fell out of bounds, tried to come back and get it. But, you know, we're taught to, you know, contest really hard because that makes a difference. So I got a piece of it, and we stopped a wide open shot from a good shoot.
You know, Jamal, just watching this clip, and I know Corey sent, you know, the clips beforehand, and we have so much footage of your ability on this side of the ball on defense, right? And something Corey mentioned before, ground coverage, right? Watching some of your clips on defense, the way that you close out, the way that you're Xing out to people, the way that you're moving, being all over the court. I mean, some of this, I'm watching this, I'm like, man, like this week, the NFL draft is coming up. And I'm wondering, like, is Jamal Shedd just going to consider declaring for that and just play cornerback somewhere? Yeah. Did you grow up playing other sports too? Where does this type of athleticism and just instinct come from for you?
My dad's a football guy. You know, I grew up playing football. And up until high school, that was my main sport for a very long time. And then it got really hot outside. And sport, and I went with the sport in the AC. So, but yeah, that's just, it's kind of like reading a defense. Like I played safety, so it's just kind of being back there reading the defense, trying to see where the ball is going.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you say that because you know, you look at this clip here. I mean, the anticipation that's a pick six, right? Turning defense into offense, and again, like if you look at where you're anticipating this from. Like Tyrese Proctor is just picking up his dribble and you are already reading where that ball is going and you know exactly the amount of time that you have to get there. I mean, that's big time stuff. So it makes complete sense, I think, that you would have been a football guy. Now I want to get to a little bit of your on-ball stuff. This is from last year, but it's with Craig Porter Jr., who, you know, has made an impact for the Cavaliers this year as a rookie. So when you're guarding on the ball, especially a guy like Craig Porter, what are you trying to make him do offensively?
It's different with everybody because of their strengths. You know, he's a really good finisher around the rim, and he's a bigger guard compared to me. So I was trying to bait him into a tougher shot just off the dribble, because, you know, that's a different percentage when it's off the dribble, especially a step back, which he's good at, but he's better at getting to the rim. So I was trying to just get him to take a tougher shot and trying to keep him off his right hand.
You know, Jamal, something that, you know, Corey and I and other people talk about all the time, especially recently, is like we are in the era of basketball where skill is talked about so much, whether it's, you know, handle, breaking your man down, shooting from outside. That's such a huge emphasis in the league. But something that I noticed while watching your tape is strength, toughness, length. These are big aspects of who you are as a player. And, you know, Corey highlighting this clip right here, the strength that you have, the lateral quickness that you have, the discipline that you have to stay in front of, as you mentioned, a bigger guard like Craig Porter. That's something that you're going to see a lot of on the next level as well. Bigger guards, bigger players overall. Obviously, you know, in ball screens and switches and stuff, you may have to guard up a little bit. Can you speak a little bit to that strength, that length, that toughness that you have as a defender, how that developed and, you know, how that's such a big part of your game?
Me and Coach Sampson talked about it all the time. He preaches it is playing with your chest, keeping your chest in front of the ball. And I'm pretty good at that because I'm pretty fast, but I don't have the best length. So when they shoot, that's why you see me jump so high and try to contest so hard, because that I have to make up that length with just how high I jump and how hard I contest. So it's about just staying and keeping your chest on the ball. And knowing somebody's tendencies. Like, he's a really good finisher going right. So if I would have let him get right, he probably wouldn't win and finish that. So just about knowing everybody's tendencies and trying to just keep the ball right in front of you.
And you talk about playing with your chest. Somebody who's really good at that in the NBA and who was, you know, great at it in college too is Davion Mitchell. Who is another guard who, you know, maybe isn't the longest, but he, like you, he's strong and compact. Another guy, Albert, you know, we were talking, texting, like Miles McBride, who's making an impact for the Knicks in the playoffs, but another guy who's small, it's tough, compact. And yeah, you're so good at kind of shadowing guys, like you said, with your speed and, like, honestly, like the anticipation too, because a lot of these contests are, you're contesting, like, you know, as they're shooting. So you're able to get a clear contest in their face. And now Albert, talking about guarding up and you talking about your strength. I mean, I think this is a really good example of, you know, you got a 7-footer right now and you're bullying him. Yeah, right. Like, and this is early in the game, so you might be able to be a little bit more aggressive. Right. Like, but what are you trying to do when you get a guy like this? Cause you have such a low center of gravity. It's hard to move you. Do you like guarding up like this?
I like guarding bigger guys because I can be lower than them, especially since at the beginning of this clip, he's have the ball at the top of his head, which he's standing straight up. So I kind of push him off his center a little bit. He really traveled, but I kind of push him off his center a little bit, and I just try to make it as hard as possible because I know that if he does get into a post-up situation, I know I have help coming. So just try to make it as hard as possible for as long as possible. And then if he was to get into a post-up situation, you see JVA Francis, he's gonna come in like 2 or 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. Like he's there on the turn. So I know I have help coming. I know what our principles are. So it's just my job to make it as hard as possible.
Yeah, and off that help, you know, you can kind of leave Kev because he's gotten better as a shooter, but with a low clock, you know.
Yeah, low clock. And if Jay was to take that, I probably would have ran to the corner if he passed it. So it was right. It's just our system, knowing where you are and who's going to help you at what time. So it wasn't just as hard to guard him right there because that's not one of his strengths. But if it was in the low post, I probably would have fronted him and probably not even tried to let him get the ball. So
right.
Know where you are on the floor.
But going back again now, guys more your size, now you take in the drive away. And I think you do a really good job here of talking about how you kind of move and use your speed to shadow and then use your chest to guard. Because if you start reaching and trying to swipe at the ball to force a turnover, right? Like, you know, it could be a foul. So when you're guarding a guy like Wade Baldwin, who can really get going, get loose, and tight game, you know, minute left. What are you trying to do in these situations here?
Keep Wade off his right hand. He's really fast, and he can really shoot it. So my pickup point was a little higher, and I kind of shaded his right hand to force the left, and then just be ready for a catch-up step. You know, just try to kick out right when he goes left, try to kick my right leg out and just get in front of him. And yeah, it worked out well. He took a tough shot, which he was making that whole game. So sometimes, especially with the caliber player he is, sometimes you just try to make them make a tough shot. You're not going to get a stop on every single play. You just try to make it as hard as possible for each person that you're guarding.
Now, are you, you know, you said you're trying to keep him from getting downhill to his right. Are you trying, like, schematically to kind of weak guys and force them into spots that they're uncomfortable?
Yeah, so our whole game plan, especially with ball screens, is to keep guys off their strong hand because they're better passers with their strong hand. Because, you know, we commit two to the ball. So when you keep them off their strong hand, they're less likely to be able to make that pass. So I was already shading him just in case they were doing a high ball screen, which they were doing the whole game. He just took off, so I was just ready for him to take off anyway because he was getting to the rim at will this game. So I was just ready for certain stuff that he had already started to do. You just learn to adapt as the game goes on.
You know, Jamal, I think so far throughout the interview we've done so far, you've mentioned a lot of core principles, things that, you know, you guys have set up schematically under Coach Sampson. Can you speak a little bit to that experience of actually playing for Coach Sampson? Just because, I mean, look, there are a lot of coaches out there, right? And players will react differently to different coaches. But I think it's clear that there's a real identity with Coach Sampson playing for him. And even just speaking to you, like the way that you keep bringing up those principles, it's clear that he really got to you guys and he really was able to instill these principles with you. If you could speak a little bit to just that experience of playing with Coach and all the things that you learned under him.
I learned that, you know, consistency is something that, you know, he preaches and he lives. That guy is the same person day in, day out, practice, games, whatever, to everybody, not just the star players. Ryan Elvin, our walk-on this year, came in the Texas A&M game in the tournament, made the biggest free throw of our year. And it's because he holds everybody to that standard that Ryan was ready. You know, my tendencies became what they are because of what he put into me day in, day out. So our defensive principles, we go over every day. We did shell drill every day. We went over baseline drives, slot drives, what to do on every single type of defense possession every day. So I think that's why we were so good defensively, because he preached it and we practiced it every day.
You know, you talked about kind of like your ball screen principles. You send two to the ball. One of the things that I've noticed is that you guys don't really gamble on the ball all too much. You try to force turnovers more like off the ball, on like this throw over on the screen, forcing guys into spots they're uncomfortable. And then you guys are so disciplined in your positioning that you're kind of a lot of the time like in the position to be able to anticipate it off the ball. So talk to me a little bit about your principle. Like, am I off there at all?
No. So one thing we do is we let others make mistakes instead of trying to force them. You know, one thing we always do, because we do force a lot of shot clock violations because we don't go for steals. We don't gamble as much. And if we gamble, you have to get it or you're in trouble. So one thing we do here is the big is always responsible for stopping the ball. But you see, if you stop it right when he gets to the slot on this side, like right about there, you see LJ's in the paint. His man's wide open. And I'm on the side of my man. So it's our big's job to stop the ball, but it's also my job not to let that pass happen cross court because LJ's so far in help and he has to wait for the big to get there. So it's my job to stop that pass. So I'm just there waiting on high hands, trying to anticipate the pass. And I have his back. So the pass cross court is what we leave open most of the time, but it's the guard on ball that has to make that pass as hard as possible. So it's just our principles. And people usually see that guy open, but it's so hard to make that pass half the time because of the two on ball and the back pressure that we have that people can't really make that pass.
Yeah. So you guys want to, you know, you talked about you got the low man here tagging the roll, so you're not giving up the layup. And if he is able, let's say you don't get to this ball, if he is able to make that throwover pass, you're going to trust yourselves to close out and force them into a tougher shot than, you know, giving up that layup, or the help is there in case he doesn't make that pass and he goes by you, right? Now you're going to have the low man to come get vertical at the rim.
Right. So you, if you say it's a really good shooter, which Curtis Jones is, if that pass was to get through, LJ is going to run as hard as he possibly can to run him off the line. And you have guys like JoJo Tugler and JVA Francis at the rim waiting on them. So I think we all complement each other really well in that system.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Now, a few more clips before, you know, we get into the offense. You know, this is something that, again, I think is just, it's really good for like young guys to watch, because it seems like you guys put so much emphasis on that low man, right? And being in position, and you've got, you know, a shooter that you're guarding, and still you're stopping in the paint, right? You're kind of just letting him go to that corner. And it puts you in position to make a play here. So take me through this play and what you're reading this whole time.
So we call that a lag. When your man is going away from the ball, you lag and you sit in the paint. Our key thing is the blue line. And I know that if they're able to make this pass, that Emmanuel has the first ball. So whatever we teach, we really preach it. So I don't get hit by the screen, and then I stop because the ball is going away from me. And then we put so much emphasis on two on the ball that you can cheat over. And that's what I mean by you put your own little twist to it. So you can cheat over, and there's two on the ball right there. So that pass was really hard. So it was a slow pass coming out. So I was able to make a play on it.
You know, this last clip defensively that we're going to play here. And again, going back to the amount of ground that you're able to cover here, getting out to Daron Holmes, who's, you know, another guy in this draft and has improved a bunch as a shooter.
Right.
So again, you're lagging, right? And
right.
Then you're able to cover from the paint out to the corner. And these are situations that you're going to be on, you know, being on the next level. And your ability to consistently do this, I mean, you're talking, you point out and get out to that. So it makes complete sense as to why you made, you know, all these defensive teams, defensive player of the year. I mean, it's little stuff like this, and it's hard because, you know, at the next level, you mostly see, you know, your defensive player of the years as like bigs, right? But all of these little details that you do is what's going to make this kind of a seamless transition to the next level.
And I think the easiest thing, what made it easier for me, is our coaching staff is awesome. You know, they spoke on plays like this, Daron Holmes, popping to the corner when they try to empty the side. So whoever is the lag guy, you have to cheat over. So we went over plays like this, you know, in shoot around, and, you know, we were ready for those. So if it wasn't me, if it was LJ in that spot or Damian, I feel like they would have been prepared for that too. So our coaching staff does a great job of, you know, telling us tendencies, telling us what guys are trying to do and trying to get to and have us prepare for it.
I think now we've seen how effective you are defensively. And now, you know, we're going to go on to the offensive side of the ball. But, you know, before we get into your film, you are obviously one of the best defenders, if not the best defender in college basketball. So if you had to guard you, what would you be trying to make you do?
I try to make me squirt ball. One thing that I pride myself on the offensive side is getting everybody involved. So, you know, I tell coach, try to tell everybody else not to help. Make Jamal should score 30 points to beat us. And if he does, then we'd have to live with it, especially if I'm guarding myself. I don't think I could score 30 on myself. honestly, I try to get everybody involved in that offense. And, you know, I can score the ball. I've had a couple of great scoring games this year. But I'm a pass-first guy, and I've learned everybody else's tendencies so well that I kind of know where everybody's going to be at the right time. So,
What did you learn from Marcus, who, you know, obviously great college career, and then just had a really good rookie season? I know there weren't a lot of wins in Detroit, but he was a guy who was actually productive in a really hard and difficult situation. So what is he, have you like kind of asked him about this process and what it's like?
Yeah. Me and Marcus talk every day. Ever since he left, we talk every day. He taught me how to approach certain things at a pro level. You know, his work ethic, I got a lot of that from him. And then just how he approached practice every day. You know, I did that this year, and my year turned out better. That guy, he's a professional through and through, and how he approaches the game and how he works. I learned a lot from him. And just, you know, the defense side of the ball, we're both talented at that, but I also learned a lot of how he just, you know, maneuvers on the ball, how he forces certain guys, just hand placement on hips, because his hands are freaking huge. He used to just move guys with his hands. I learned a lot from him, and I still ask him questions daily, you know, about the process I'm going through right now, and how he worked out and how he kept his body in certain shape. You know, I ask him a lot of questions, and he's always happy to answer them. He helped me a lot, and he's been teaching me a lot these past 2 years.
Now I want to go back into your offense here, and you talked about your ability to make plays. So I kind of want to go through some of your film and your ability to do that. And I mean, the way that you operate out of ball screens, I think is really impressive, because there's a poise, and you do some really crafty things, like right there, that little like step over with the right foot to get the defender kind of on your back, is really crafty and allows you to get a step, forcing the big to come up. So just take me through what you're trying to do here, and, you know, kind of what your progressions are coming off this ball screen.
So a lot of that is our offense too. You know, we try to create empty side pick and rolls, and then knowing tendencies. Jay actually got mad at me right here because he was so open. I should have threw the lob. at the end of the play, I literally went like this, my bad, because he told me to throw the lob. And if you see, Malik is cutting backdoor corner. So I had two options, because his man didn't see him. And he loves when I throw him lobs too. So I had three to four options on that play, because LJ's man fell asleep and LJ was about to slide to the corner. So it's just about seeing everything, and just being able to make the right decision at the right moment.
Now, when, again, you're talking about like the ability to throw it up, right? Knowing guys' tendencies. I mean, that's a dime. Perfectly placed ball, athlete, go up, go get it. So what are you reading here that makes you want to throw this lob up?
Anytime we played against drop coverage, I got Jay 2 to 3 lobs a game, because coach preached it. If your man is in drop coverage, like they had two bigs this game. One played at the line of scrimmage. One was in drop coverage, which was the 7-footer. Jay's faster than him. So right when you get out of the screen, set the screen, and then just take off running. He has to guard either me or you. If he backs up, I'm going to probably shoot a floater. If he doesn't, you go get it at the rim. So it's a lot simpler than people realize. You just have two really easy reads. And if somebody helps to take the roll, then that guy's open. So it's a lot more simple than people think. But it's just about making the right read at the right time. The way their defense is, you know, they don't have a tag man, because we have two really good shooters, Emmanuel and LJ. So whoever's helping off of, that's where the ball's going. Yeah. And a credit to our coaches again. Me and Coach Q probably worked on coming off like that tight, low, and keeping the defender on your back, especially when they're in drop, because it creates the 2-on-1. So, you know, we work on that stuff a lot, man. We've worked and worked and worked and worked. So it just became a little natural.
Yeah. And again, you're so good at playing at your own pace and changing speeds and going high to low and forcing like the big who's on his heels to have to step up and guard you, you know, maybe for the floater or whatever. And then again, another just great dime. Yeah. Your ability to run those pick and rolls and put pressure on the rim with your big guys is really important because again, now, you know, it's opening up different looks for you in other areas of the court. And here, you know, we're going to see that kind of side ball screen. Two guys come and now you're kicking out, spraying, you know, out to your shooter. So take me through this one and all the different reads that you might have.
Like I said, our offense allowed a lot of empty side pick and rolls. And, you know, it's about whoever's open. So they take the roll really well this time. But, you know, he doesn't do it this time. But number 13, Juwan Roberts, he sets a lot of flare screens. Mm-hmm. Make it easier for me to throw those corner passes. Him cutting at that time, manual. So, you know, he bumped the guy a little bit and just finding them when they're open. You know, it's an empty side, pick and roll. I get to the middle and then they take the roller. So somebody's open. So
yeah.
I just happened to find Emmanuel and he was open.
Yeah. And again, really crafty from Juwan there, right? Like
a little brush.
Not moving. Yeah. Just the brush is just to get in the way, give, you know, an extra split second to get to that shot. But, you know, great kick to the corner. And this is the offense that, you know, NBA teams want. This is, you know, the analytic, that corner hit when you're collapsing the defense. And you've been so good at making those hits. I mean, this is a tough pass. Again, you talk about getting into the paint. I mean, look at how many jerseys are there.
Right.
You know, you got four white shirts in your vicinity. Hit the jump pass right on the money. Right. So when you're in those tight spaces, I'm sure there's a learning curve, right? Because you can bury yourself. So what was, you know, that like throughout the course of your career, like getting into those spaces that you know you can get to, but having to kind of learn when the right time to get there and maybe when not to be there?
Me and Coach talked about it a lot, and credit to him again. My freshman year, even when I wasn't playing, he still called me in to watch a lot of film with him because I would get to those spaces in practice. But, you know, I play off one foot. I'm jumping out of bounds, so I'd only have one or two options. And if they weren't there, it's an automatic turnover. But if you see here, I jump stop. When you play off 2 feet, you have a lot of options. Said, our big at the time, he's young, so I wouldn't throw that to him. But if that was Jay, I might just drop it off to him, and he can do his little floater. And then Emmanuel's man also helped. So if he would have helped a little harder, that pass could also went to him. So it's just playing off 2 feet, and it gives you more options. And I jump kind of high, so I jump, and I threw that on the money. It's, you know, in his pocket, he was ready to shoot.
And you're fully capable of making those little drop off passes too. So a little in and out, mm-hmm. right? And that's a little drop off. You get baseline. You know, even here, like our team's trying to kind of like ice you this way, like because you guys, you said you like those side baselines, but it seems a lot of teams are trying to kind of force you to that.
Right. So with Iowa State, their defense is a lot like ours, but they actually force baseline a little bit. So he gives me a little room. His big wasn't there yet, which he's not supposed to know that, but he did a really good job playing and keeping me off my right hand at first. And then he sided me and they didn't want to give up LJ, which I wouldn't want to either. So it's just about finding somebody that was open, and they took away LJ. And if Emmanuel would have slid down a little more, he also would have been open.
Right.
LJ to him, which, you know, we did a lot. So it was just our offense was set up for guys like me. He changed it from the previous year to help me. And it really did. And it gave me a lot more options.
Jamal, you just mentioned, right? Like things were set up to help you. And, you know, you spent 4 years there at Houston. And as you mentioned, you worked a lot with the coaches, a lot of film tape, stuff like that. But overall, like you were the primary playmaker last year. And when we look at the advanced stats and stuff, it was unbelievable. Can you talk to us a little bit about you know, your progression through the 4 years as a playmaker creator. You mentioned before that it's like a big part of your game. You like setting up other people, but if you could talk to us about that development and how that's a big part of who you are.
You know, my first year I played behind Dejan Giroux, who took us to the Final Four, and I learned so much because we saw the same things. It's just he's 6'6". So he'd get to the same spots I'd get to, but he can see over the defense and throw it without jumping, throw it without stopping, play off 1 foot a lot easier because he's 6'6". And I think that's why Coach used to bring me in there and show me, you know, those same passes that he was making, I can make just in different ways. So he would show me Dejan's throwing the same pass I throw, but mine gets tipped or mine gets stolen because I'm shorter. So that's when I started to really play off 2 feet a lot more and just jumping the pass because they're so wide open. All I got to do is get it to them. And then my sophomore year, I took on a different role of, you know, playing with four seniors who were all at the top of their game at that time. Josh Carlton's finishing around the rim. It's just about getting it there. So there was a lot of times where I'd go into the paint and just hand Josh the ball half the time. Just get next to him and hand it to him because he's going to finish it. And Fabian was shooting lights out that year at the four, and fours don't really guard threes like that. So the flare screen that we were talking about with Juwan Roberts, you know, he set that a lot, but he would pop back. So there would be nobody there. And he taught me how to just look for that. And I used that with Jairus last year a lot. So it was just about learning every year, trying to pick up something new. And then this year, Coach kind of like asked me about, you know, our offense and, you know, what I like to do. And he said that I like to drive baseline a lot. So he put it in our offense. And, you know, we started to practice about, you know, the reads out of baseline, where guys need to be and where they are. And once I got used to it and the guys got used to me passing it to them, it just became routine. So it was just about learning, picking something new up every year, just trying to get better and trying to get smarter with the game.
Now I want to go, you know, get back into your film and maybe start blending in some of you and your offense and kind of mesh how that even helps you open up some playmaking reads. Because right here, you kind of show your burst. You're really good at using these hezzies.
Yeah.
You know, and when you're in transition, you know, you guys are playing fast, but you're still in control. And then you get all the way to the hoop. So what are you reading here, knowing that you could explode to the rim like that?
Coach made it like an emphasis that every time that I come down the court in transition, we set a drag screen. And a lot of people, you know, turn and look for screens. So whenever they turn and look or just, I try to go past them. If it doesn't work, I come off the screen and I just read the screen. So I try to get to the rim as much as possible. And at this case, the rim cleared completely up because Juan was our trail big. And Sayed came up and tried to set the drag screen for me. So there was no one at the rims.
We see a similar situation here against Texas. You're going to hit that little hezzy. And Tyrese Hunter, he kind of makes the mistake helping off strong corner there. And then, but you're able to make that read and see where your guys are. So it's these progressions and ability to make multiple reads when guys are incoming and rotating over in a, you know, split second. Because so much of NBA basketball is, you know, 0.5 making those quick decisions. And, right. You know, you've shown that you can do that as well. Another shot that I think that you get to that makes that puts a lot of pressure on bigs. And this is really slick. Are these little floaters? And again, this is a tough one. You got a big dude waiting for you and Hunter Dickinson in the middle of the paint. And then you take me through this and, you know, the footwork that goes into it.
So funny thing is, my freshman year, I wasn't the best shooter, so coach told me I wasn't allowed to shoot threes. And I hadn't worked on my pull-up as much yet, but I shot close to 500 or 600 floaters every day with Coach Q. So that was my only shot that I was allowed to shoot in practice. So I got really good at it. And on this play, we have a younger big in Sayed who I've told, like, you know, you're probably not going to hit the drop-off pass because you're not at that level yet. So, and I told him if they're already set when you come set the ball screen, just slip out of it as fast as you can and then go do the Gortat screen, which he's really good at.
Yep.
Like he learned that before he even got to us because he's really good at it. So I still could have Euroed and got to the layup. He probably would have sealed because he does it a lot. But, you know, him slipping out of that. And then Marco Jackson is also a freshman. So those little fakes and little stuff like that works on younger guys. So it's just about knowing who you're playing against and then just trying to get to the spots that you've worked on a bunch.
And then that opens up stuff here, right? Like if you can get to that floater and you get into the paint, that's going to open up these lob opportunities. Guy like Emmanuel Quickly, Trey Young, those guys are really good at making bigs pay. Now here, Kyle Filipowski is kind of no man's land. He kind of doesn't commit. He doesn't commit either way.
Yeah. Because I guess, you know, like you said, Emmanuel Quickly and Trey Young, you don't know if they're shooting a floater or not.
Right.
Because I shoot my floaters the same way I pass, kind of. And those two guys, like I learned a lot from Trey Young. His change of pace, like I did there, I kind of got from him a lot. Just, you know, playing with pace is really good for a guard of my size. Because I am fast, but you can't go fast all the time. You got to catch people slipping a little bit. So, and then again, knowing who you're playing with. Jay was ready for that lob before the play started. And you see him get a little spacing into the dunker spot, and he's already starting to creep up. Like he's ready for it. So I put it where he could only get it. And, you know, just playing with guys and knowing their tendencies just makes it a lot easier.
Where do you think you're at now in terms of your progression as a shooter? I know before floaters and stuff was the emphasis, but now with the outside shooting, pull-up game, all that stuff, where do you feel like you are in terms of, you know, how much you've developed?
I'm catch and shoot. I'm a pretty good shooter. You know, it's about just being consistent with your form and trusting your work. And I put in a lot of work. A lot of hours, so it's just about trusting it and trying to be consistent with what I do every day. So I'm pretty good catch and shooter. Off the dribble, I got better this year. I made a lot of contested jumpers, and then my mid range I've had since high school. I got away from it because, you know, sometimes you try to change your game once you get to the next level, and I kind of forgot that I could still shoot that until, you know, one of the assistant coaches was like, hey, you know, you can still do that, and it kind of just came back into my game. So you know, it's a credit to my coaches. We work on little stuff like that day in, day out, where it's just a lot of reps. We don't do anything really crazy where we do 20 moves into a pull-up or anything like that. It's just consistency and reps. So just trying to do the same thing over and over and over if it's working.
How do guys typically guard you out of ball screens?
Beginning of the year, they were going under a lot, which we were prepared for. Anytime that anybody went under a screen, you got to shoot it. You got to let it fly. And it's just about having the confidence of what you work on. So I'm going to let it go. I work on it. And if it goes in, it goes in. And one thing coach preaches is, you know, if you work on it and you believe in yourself, don't stop shooting. You're out there for a reason. So if guys go under ball screens that low, I have to let it go. If they go under when we're that high, like in a drag situation, like you guys seen earlier, we always rescreen. Out of the rescreen. So, you know, just knowing your own strengths. So I work on that shot. And if it went in, cool. If it didn't, Jay got the rebound. That's what we do.
Really quickly, Jamal, like something that Corey and I talk about whenever we scout players, and especially when we're talking about outside shooting, sometimes like a big chunk of the battle is just taking the damn shot. Like there are a lot of guys who are just straight, and I don't mean to slight them, but some of them just, they get left open like this, right? They go under on the screen and they just don't have it in them to put the shot up. And I think what you just said is so important because people talk about it all the time. A big chunk of shooting is just confidence, right? And you mentioned, like, if I'm putting up the reps, and then I'm going to take the shot because I did the work and I believe in myself. And I think, you know, looking at these reps with them going under you, just for NBA scouts, front office people, whatever, they're going to watch this and go, well, at least he's not afraid. That's the biggest thing. And clearly he's working on it. He believes in it. And the fact that you're even putting up the shot, I think that's a huge thing and really speaks to the amount of work and the self-belief that you have, you know, in that shot.
You know, and, you know, coach is really helpful in that. You know, early in the year, LJ went through a shooting slump and stopped shooting. Dude, you're our best shooter. Coach told him next game, you need to shoot at least 7 or 8. Just because, you know, and that's the type of guy Coach Sampson is. He gives you confidence. He believes in you, especially if he's seen your work. So, you know, he started to tell me, you know, if they go under, shoot that 3 or 4 times a game. And, you know, that just it just helps. And you make a couple, they can't do that anymore. So and it makes the game easier for yourself.
Your ability to be confident in all the ways that you can shoot, because it's not like you were only shooting
right
when guys were going under. I thought the confidence that you had as a shot maker, and I think it says a lot because, you know, obviously you had Marcus last year, who's a great shooter, great space creator, and is a guy who was leading your offense, and you're stepping into that role now. To be able to create shots that you were able to create consistently, you got Jacoby Walter, potentially a lottery pick. I mean, this is not a low clock. I mean, you know, maybe there's 10 seconds. It's not like, you know, you got a grenade here. This is a confident combo move. So, like, you know, it's simple, but it's confident. And I like the little, you wave, talk to me about the little wave at the end.
I know it wasn't a wave. It wasn't a wave.
Okay.
You know, one thing, like I say, our coaches listen, our coaches tell us something, and we listen. So one thing Coach Q, me and him work on is just always holding our follow through. So my follow through stays up on this. It goes in. And before I turn around, I look straight at him and I just have my hand up.
No, I like that because, you know, I think if you look at your follow through here too, it's perfectly aligned with where the ball is headed. Because I think that, you know, when breaking down the shot, one of the things I've noticed sometimes is when you do miss, sometimes your follow through ends up on the side, right?
Yep.
So it obviously you did the little motion before I even got to it. Mm-hmm. So clearly this is something you've identified. So this is something, you know, talk to me about like what you're working on kind of to keep that arm straight.
I have the right mechanics. All I got to do is just keep it there and be disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we work on it a lot. That's what I've been working on lately. Actually, what I worked on today, this morning. So it's just about being disciplined and knowing yourself. I shoot better when I leave it, so I need to do it more and not rush my shot. So it's just about being disciplined.
And we have so much evidence of your ability to hit, not even just like, you know, open shots, but these tough kind of combo move shots that, you know, are NBA level shots. And big moment here. Sidestep, you do kind of snake bite it a little bit, but the follow through is really pretty and right in line, and you hit this confidently. A minute and a half left, up one, right? Like right. To the sidestep. Who just, do you like watching that you get stuff like this from?
Marcus Sasser. So you know, it's just about, you know, we talk about trusting the work. I put up a lot of shots today, so that's not even something I work on. That's just about, you know, being in the gym and getting reps. So shoot it with confidence. And those type of moments, the ball is usually in my hands anyway. So, you know, I'm kind of used to those moments, and I was just shooting it with confidence because they compacted the paint really well. They were ready for whatever we had. So I had to get a tough shot up, and I just had to make it.
I mean, even it's weird. It's crazy that you say Marcus Sasser, because even the footwork on this shot reminds me of him. It looks a lot like him. You know, and if you can, Jamal, speaking to a little bit to the importance of footwork on these outside jumpers, I know you're working on your follow through and stuff, but, you know, figuring out your feet, you know, getting that balance under you, getting yourself in good rhythm. If you could speak a little bit to that and how that's a big part of your shooting.
When you're on balance, your shot looks way better. You know, we talked about that a lot. Just getting the way my shot is, getting that right foot in front a little bit. And getting my left foot behind me and getting that lift, made my shot a lot easier to where I'm not just pushing it and using my arms. So you can see a little arc on it. You can see it looked good, had a good rotation. So it's about being consistent with that. And we talk about Marcus a lot. The reason I know how to do it is because I guarded it for 3 years. You know, my freshman year was, excuse my language, was hell because I had to guard him every day. You know, I took a lot from him because I was guarding him, and I learned a lot from him because I was guarding him. So, you know, I feel like I could guard anybody if I could guard Marcus Sasser.
Now, you know, at the next level, you're not just, you know, going to have the ball in your hand 100% of the time. You know, you might be playing off of, you know, some other guys. You could be playing off of LeBron James. You could be playing off of Trae Young or Luka or, you know, some of these guys, LaMelo Ball. So, you know, you mentioned your ability to catch and shoot and play off the ball, playing with guys like Marcus. How much has that helped you learn how to be a guy who doesn't have the ball in his hands all the time?
Having fun taking a backseat and watching him work, and then just being ready to shoot, and also learning how to cut. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. you take a take a guy who's just sitting there watching, and then, you know, you watch when guys go to work, that you just lose yourself and you're sitting there watching the game. It's about being engaged and staying locked in and, you know, learning that if, oh, a guy's driving baseline, I need to be in that corner. Or if he's driving towards me, I need to slide down. Just being engaged with the game and, you know, trusting your shot, trusting your work.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that stuff that you've done a really good job on, you lift here, you know, missed the shot, you see that follow through again, but a lot of your catch and shoots weren't just like stationary spot ups. Like you were doing a lot of movement. Now, I think one of the other things, like outside of follow through, there are times where they'd spray the ball out to you and maybe you would like not shoot it in rhythm, maybe like catch it, hold it for a second and then shoot it. But when you are like just catching and shooting right in rhythm, whether it's off the hop or the 1-2, like, I mean, that's money. Like there's nothing that you can point to where you would say that, you know, that's not going to be a guy who could get it up into the high 30s or the 40s one day. So, you know, again, does that just come down to confidence and reps of even if there's a guy closing at you, you're still going to feel unbothered by it?
Yeah. And most of the time my threes come from, I'm the grenade guy. And we've talked about it. I've accepted it because I'd rather my percentage go down than all of yours. Because I'll take the miss. It doesn't matter to me. And I know how to miss to where we have the best chance of getting the rebound. I'll be the grenade guy. I usually have the ball with 5 seconds left in my hand. So it doesn't matter. But those shots right there, those are the shots I have to make. Because I am wide open, and LJ gave me a great pass right into my pocket. So those are the type of shots that I really have to make that I've worked on. So it's just about being ready to catch and shoot and trusting your work.
At the end of the day, you bring so much to the table. You know, Albert mentioned your advanced stats. I think your assist percentage was over 40 this year. And your turnover percentage was only like 13. Like that discrepancy, right? So like high assist to turnover ratio. Defensively, you had a steal percentage, I think over 5, and a block percentage over 2.5. Something crazy. Like those would be great numbers for like a 6'8 wing. Right? Not a 6 foot, 6'1", 6'2 guard. So, I mean, talk to me about like the intangibles that you bring, because obviously you have an impact statistically, but you don't have as successful a college career with runs like that you've had without also, you know, having those intangibles. So like if you know, we were an NBA team, you know, talk to me about what you bring that doesn't show up in the stat sheet.
Coach says it all the time. Find ways to impact winning. And I found my niches. I found ways that I could stay on the floor and impact winning, which was defense, being first guy on the floor to lose balls, making the right read, even if I'm not on the ball, if it's just the extra pass, that's cool. That's just ways you find ways to stay on the court. My sophomore year, that's what I really had to do because our guard room was me, Marcus Sasser, Tremont Mark, Tajay Moore, and Kyler Edwards, which three of those guys are two G League that go back and forth to the NBA, one that's just finished his rookie year in the NBA, and another who just transferred to Texas and was Arkansas's best guy last year. Mm-hmm. You know, our guard room, every time that I've been at Houston every year, has been really good. So you find ways to stay on the floor. And you just find ways to impact winning. And Coach preached it, and I kind of just found my niches and I found ways to stay on the floor.
Draft's coming up. We're in that period now, preparing for all that stuff. What are the main areas right now that you're really keying in on? You're like, hey, this is what I'm spending most of my time on in terms of preparing for, you know, this next step.
Rep spot at 3-point line. If I'm on the team, people are going to look at my college stats and, you know, help off of me. So you have to be ready to catch a shoot. So I can kind of do everything else. I'm not perfect, but I'm pretty good at everything else. Finding open man, defensive side, kind of got some intangibles. But, you know, the biggest thing for me is just hitting open three. So that's what I'm constantly working on.
I know we appreciate that you taking all this time out of your schedule. I know you're working hard. Preparing for the draft. So I just want to say, you know, thank you for stopping by and chopping it up with the No Ceilings guys.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. And thank you for having me, man. It was an honor to be on the show.